Right, so I'm going to go straight to John Robbie. He is on the line. John, thank you so much for joining me. It was the first round of Rugby World Cup that was very entertaining.
Hi, Bootle. It's amazing, isn't it? Having waited for 4 years, having, you know, this interminable wait, now the first weekend is over and we've learned so much. It was absolutely amazing. And the stadia have been terrific. Mm. Even, you know, I hate opening ceremonies. That's one of my pet hates in sporting events. It wasn't too bad. It was even quite tasteful. The crowds have been terrific. The games have been very, very enjoyable. Even the minnows, you know, Russia, Namibia, Tonga, Fiji have scored tries. The only downside has been obviously that we lost, but I'm going to argue that in fact we had unreal expectations building up to the World Cup.
Mm.
And the other thing is that the rugby is a little bit predictable. You know, if you look at it, I was hoping certainly that in the group stages the ball would get flung around. In fact, it's been safety first. I mean, God, if I had £100 for every time the scrum half, and every time you know the scrum half is just going to boot it up in the air, and they're all going to chase, the fullback is going to boot it back. It goes on and on till someone gets a penalty, kick to the corner, and try and push over. But having said that, that's what it is, and overall a good start.
You know, John Robbie, you speak about the fact that the scrum halves were booting it up in the air, and I mean, as you're saying, it's a predictable game, rugby. I want to focus on our scrum half, the Springbok scrum half, Faf de Klerk. His kicks weren't too effective in the match.
No, they weren't. But against Japan, they were fantastic. You know, when we beat the Japanese, he's a very, very good player. And you know, a couple of them didn't come off. But overall, he's our number one scrum half. And I think if you look at effect off the bench, we've now got Herschel Jantjies, who seems to have that magic ability to open things up. So I wouldn't expect to see too many changes on that one. I think as South Africans, especially when we lose, we're too willing to write people off based on a mistake or an average type of game. There might be reasons for his kicking being off, who knows, but it's too soon to panic. As a famous tennis player once said, it's too soon to panic after when we've lost one game and we've still got the rest of the World Cup ahead. If you think about it, in the last World Cup we lost to Japan in the first game and we were still only 2 points away from getting to the final. So as I say, too soon to panic.
Too soon to panic indeed, John Robbie. But it's not too soon to look at the player performances.
Sure.
And I want you to single out a player for me that really stood out. I mean, besides Cheslin Kolbe.
Well, how can you single out anyone but Cheslin Kolbe? He was world class. The question you've got to say is, how come every time he gets the ball, it's like an accident? How come we've got a backline coach, we supposedly have all this brain trust, and yet we never seem to give him the ball? Occasionally he manages to get it himself, all by a bit of luck, and then he looks like he's one of the most dangerous, or he is one of the most dangerous players in the world. So there's something wrong with that. But I think even if I can start off, before we look at individuals, and I'm not saying we mustn't look at individuals because it's a team and an individual game. But let's just put the thing into perspective. First of all, we were hopelessly optimistic to think that we were the favorites against the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Hopelessly optimistic. I mean, you know, they're talking to people and watching the game with people who, most of them had one eye, if I can put it that way. They were very, very serious South African fans.
Yeah.
You almost got the feeling that we just had to turn up to win. New Zealand are going for the third time. They haven't lost a World Cup game for, what, how many? 15 games, something like that in the World Cup. They certainly had been off slightly in the last year or so
and
in the build-up. But if you look at them, if you look at Ireland, who are magnificent, by the way, today against Scotland. Doesn't it show that they've timed their charge to the World Cup perfectly? They weren't, you know, they knew very well that they were trying things, they were holding stuff back, etc. And they were terrific. Now, let's look at the other side. We were 17-3. We started off terrifically well against the All Blacks. We had them rattled. But look at the way they didn't panic. Look at the way they changed their tactics. Look at the way they split Barrett. Look at the way they split Mwanga instead of having them both on the same side. Look at the way they ran a runner, a hard forward runner, out with the backs. They ran Ardi Sevier on the right. They ran Coles and they ran Scott Barrett on the left to give more cover out there. They never panicked. We could have been 6-0 ahead. We weren't 6-0. We were 3-0 ahead, then they caught back, they were 17-3. Most teams would run away, and they would run away from. Now, what happened was we came back and we got to 17-13 against a rampant All Black side playing brilliantly, and I think that is praiseworthy. We lost it slightly, and we let it run away towards the end. But overall, if you look at the reaction, not in the one-eyed South African press, or certainly not on Twitter, listening to some of the poison that's there, if you look at the reaction around the world, most people are saying it was a hell of a game of rugby. Mm. The All Blacks deserve to win, and certainly South Africa are not out of it yet. And most of them are saying that they're almost certain to get to the semi-final. So I think we mustn't be too tough on our boys.
Mm. I mean, you rightfully say, John Robbie, it was a hell of a game of rugby. And looking at the two juggernauts, I mean, it's essentially the two favourites to win the World Cup, outside of England, I would say. And looking at them go toe-to-toe like that yesterday was quite a nice spectacle for the game of rugby. Looking at the All Blacks' defence, I noticed John very spread out, hardly committing men to the ruck, and Peter Steph managed to steal a try because of that. Could teams be looking to target something like that?
Well, you see, that's the point. I mean, here we have the All Blacks. Why is it that they never seem to be under pressure?
Yeah.
And their decision-making is incredible. When to commit, when not to commit, when to spread, etc. I mean, it's brilliant. They do it automatically. And we see ourselves getting caught occasionally with a fast man running at forwards, which we saw. And I thought that was terrific. What Peter Steph to toy. I mean, it wasn't the fact that he got through. It was the fact there was nobody there.
Exactly.
So immediately there was something. Now, when are we going to see people attacking, offloading, two people coming in, coming back against the grain? So I would say instead of just complaining about something, now you're thinking like a true coach. You're saying, all right, the All Blacks were brilliant at this. The All Blacks did this very well. Where do we counter them? Mm. It was like for many, many years, the All Blacks backs were just so fantastic. So they came up with this rush defense. Teams like Ireland, teams like the Springboks came up hard, hammered. The wings came in. If the ball got thrown long to the wing, our fullback covered and our scrum half covered across. So I think what you have to do against the All Blacks is obviously think. You've obviously got to make your tackles. I saw a statistic that said we missed 26 tackles against the All Blacks. Now, admittedly, sometimes a statistic can be misleading. You know, you get a guy who is screaming up, he's bust his guts and makes a desperate attempt to tackle a Bowden Barrett.
Yes.
But he's running flat out and Barrett sidesteps. So a statistic can be misleading. That goes down as a missed tackle. But 26 missed tackles is too many. So we've obviously got to focus on that. But you know, there was lots that was very, very good. Why we just don't seem to create situations, more dangerous situations, I don't know. Obviously, our penalties, our discipline.
Mm.
The refereeing argument is such a pain in the neck. Referees are always controversial.
Yeah, I was going to go there.
Why are we not sitting here complaining about the Australian tackle on the Fijians? The Fijians are probably sitting there saying, we would have beaten Australia if they got that red card.
That's
Ben
right.
O'Keefe is a crooked referee. What a. Angus Gardner, he allowed the French to come offside when the Argentinians were going for that accessible winning try in that marvellous game against France. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Jerome Garcia. Well, the All Blacks are complaining why we didn't get a yellow or a red card or a penalty try.
Yeah.
So they're bitching about that. So we didn't lose because of the referee. And I think that let's nail this refereeing argument once and for all. Either you're going to have, in rugby, every time there's a movement, we're going to stop and go back to the TMO and have 3 minutes break while they check and see if there was any mistake or penalty or infringement or whatever. Or we're going to say what rugby has done for 150 years, the referee is the sole judge of fact, and we just have to accept that. And the referees, are they crooked? They're not crooked. Do they make mistakes? Yes, they do make mistakes.
Yeah.
Do certain referees do certain things? For example, Garcia apparently is the way he referees the scrum is is quite unique, then for goodness sake, learn from that and play to that and stop whinging about it. But I'm fed up hearing South Africans moan about the referee because everybody else does the same.
And they've, as you rightfully say, on the social, or there's a Twitter street and on the social media, they've been really going at the referees entire day since the match wrapped up yesterday. John, just before I do let you go, looking ahead now, South Africa and the All Blacks have gotten the big, I mean, this was essentially the start of the Rugby World Cup. It would have been the game that they would have been the most nervous about up until the knockout stages. Where to from here, do you think, for both sides, and how do they approach the rest of the games against the so-called smaller teams?
Well, if you remember, during one of our very interesting podcasts, I said that, in fact, this is not the big game for South Africa. I said the big game is Italy.
Yes.
Because you think about it, we were always on to lose to New Zealand. Look at our record recently. Look at New Zealand's record in the World Cup. Look at the quality of the teams. Look at where they are in just your general world standing. Of course, on our day, we can beat them, and more of that, hopefully, in this World Cup to come. But if you look at it realistically, any team that was in the same group as New Zealand is going to lose to New Zealand. All right? So then you say, right, if we can't beat the minnows in the group, then we don't deserve to be there. The other team that is not a minnow is Italy. And Italy, during that game that they played now, at times they looked reasonably proficient. Namibia, the score was, 47 against 22. Namibia were actually terrific, and it was nice to see them scoring tries. But the Italians were scrappy. They obviously weren't at their best because they're targeting the South African game. And I think what we have to do is say, look, before we do anything else, we have got a World Cup final coming up, and that is the game against Italy.
Yeah.
Then we've got to play Ireland. Ireland were brilliantly organized.
Yep,
their pack was terrific. They played a very, very conservative game. And as you know, they're not scared of South Africa. They've beaten South Africa a number of times, including hammering us recently. So what we have to do is win the other games, hopefully play with combinations, not get too many injuries, because that obviously, but everybody is going to get injured in the injuries in the World Cup.
Then
we have to focus on that Italian game, and we have to smash them. Then we have to focus on quarterfinals, hopefully semifinals, and then we can say, right, we've got the All Blacks again, but my goodness, now, in that final, if we get there, we'll be a hell of a better team than we were in the opening game that seems so far behind us. So it's too soon to panic. Yes, there was disappointment, but I would also argue there are very, very few teams in this World Cup at this stage who would have come back from 17-3 and got back to 17-13 against the All Blacks. We can improve more than they can.
Yes, absolutely. John Robbie, thank you so much for your time this evening. I'll talk to you again soon as we continue our Sports Talk special podcast, looking ahead to the next match.
Do I look like I've been waiting for over a day to vent my opinion on this? Because I really have, and it's great. Great chatting.
Absolutely. It was great chatting. Chat to you when we talk about Namibia, South Africa. John Robbie, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Cheers, Butle. All the best, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is John Robbie. You'd know him. He's a former Irish scrum half, actually, that you might have not known. He's also represented the Springboks twice, uncapped, but besides him being a radio legend on the 702 Prime Media's very own station, John Robbie.